to the KTEP Book Club on Perspectives. I'm your host, Louis Sines. Joining us today on Perspectives is Diane Muldrow. Diane is the editorial director of Golden Books, and she has come out with a book called Everything I Need to Know series, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But first, I'd like to take this time to welcome you, Diane. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Little Golden Books. I'm sure anyone who is an adult now remembers the Little Golden Books. I remember the Little Golden Books reading to my daughter the favorite one she was like was the Four Little Puppies.
Probably the Pokey Little Puppy.
Yes, and she loved that. You are the editorial director, so tell us a little bit about the history of Little Golden Books, because a lot of people grew up with those things.
Yeah, Little Golden Books launched in 1942, which was the height of America's involvement in World War II. And so that was an auspicious time, because up until that time, there really weren't children's books in people's homes as there are today. Children's books were a luxury item that cost upward between $2 and $3. Little Golden Books were designed to be affordable, and at the time they cost 25 cents. So even during the war, when people really didn't have money to throw around, they could usually cobble together a quarter and go buy their child a book. Another thing about Little Golden Books that people will remember is that they were available. They weren't really so much a bookstore item as an item that you bought in the drugstore or where you bought your newspaper or in the supermarket. Supermarkets were invented not long after Little Golden Books came out, and they were a big supermarket item. I know that's where we bought them when I was a kid in the early 60s. So that's why everybody had them. You know, they were affordable, and they were everywhere you were.
We are visiting with Diane Muldrow. She is the editorial director of Little Golden Books, and she has written over 100 books for children. When people look back and say the Little Golden Books, they're probably thinking, wow, I wonder if she wrote the one that I read. When you started, what is the first Little Golden Book that you remember reading?
That I remember reading?
Yes.
As a kid?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you my favorite Little Golden Books, one was called Wonders of Nature, which I actually reissued about 5 years ago, and it was just a beautifully written book about little facts about nature with beautiful illustrations. And another one that I loved was called Goodbye Tonsils.
Oh, yes.
And that one is no longer in print, but it was about a little girl, you know, my age, who went to the hospital and got her tonsils out, and I thought that book was really fascinating. So Little Golden Books, you know, they had all kinds of content, and they did nonfiction really well. And as a child, I really responded to those books that gave me information, like, you know, what happened when you got your tonsils out, or what it's like to go to a pond and see the frogs there, things like that.
Now, what gave you the idea of beginning the Everything I Need to Know series?
Right. Well, I think having worked on Little Golden Books for over 20 years, I can actually tell you that in 2008, in the big fiscal crisis that we had in this country, you may remember, especially because you work in the media, there was a lot of soul searching that went on after that about people's savings. Have I saved enough? Am I eating too much? You know, I just remember in the culture, there was just a lot of soul searching about what have we done wrong here, you know? And I just thought about the Little Golden Books and all the little lessons that they had in those books. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do sort of a guide to life for the baby boomers who grew up with Little Golden Books and who remember all those wonderful pictures from the books? And I got the idea on the subway, and I started writing it right away. So it is Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book is the first one in the series. The new one that's out now is called Everything I Need to Know About Love I Learned from a Little Golden Book. And really, they're just lighthearted guides to life. They're gift books. They're aimed at adults. They look like Little Golden Books, but they're 96 pages. So they're longer. They're about three times as long as the famous Little Golden Books for kids. And they're just a great gift item you can give to your brother or your colleague or your graduate at home. They're just fun books that I use the vintage artwork from the Little Golden Books of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I pair it with little lines, just little nuggets of wisdom, you know, just about life.
We're visiting with Diane Muldrow, and she is the author of Everything I Need to Know About Love. That's the latest book in the Everything I Need to Know series. And you just mentioned a little while ago about the art, and I thought that was interesting and fascinating, because you go and you turn the pages and you see a picture that'll take you back to when you were 6 years old, 10 years old. And the one that really stuck out with me, I remembered that the driver of that dump truck who gave rides to all the little animals.
Oh, yeah, the happy man in his dump truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful book. It's still in print, and it sells and sells. And it's also really beautiful art. And I think one of the joys of writing the Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book series is that I feel like an art curator. I get to go through and curate and find wonderful pictures from the Little Golden Books and put them in my books so people can enjoy them all over again, which sounds like what you did.
Exactly. Now, when you talked about writing this Everything I Need to Know series, according to what some of the research and some of the reviews I've read, it says that there was hardly a real-life situation that hadn't been covered in the more than 70-year-old line of books, from managing money to pulling your tonsils, the importance of exercise, to just finding content. And so you decided to go after the love issue. And what's interesting is that you fell in love while you were writing this.
I did. I was contracted to write the love book. And just by happenstance, I got together with my now boyfriend and fell in love with him as I was writing this book. So I guess you could say it probably is a much better book for that experience of falling in love for the first time in many, many years. And I think it really helped me write a book about love, because this book is about being open to life and to love and to putting your past heartbreaks behind you and to not crawl into your shell.
And it's interesting, as you mentioned, it's very nostalgic and people love nostalgia. They like going back to look what I did. And this is something that's good for parents to share with their kids and even grandparents, because they can remember and say, look, I remember this book. I had this when I was a child. And they can go through, like I saw the little man with a happy dump truck.
Right. Now, on every page, if you look at the bottom of the picture, there's a little caption, and I actually list the name of the title of the book that the picture is from. And the readers really enjoy that, because sometimes they don't remember, oh, what was the title? Oh, here's that book I loved so much. Here's that man, that character I loved so much. And so at the bottom of every page, it says the title of the Little Golden Book and the year that book was published. So it's a great tool, because if you're going down memory lane, you want to remember the name of the book that you loved so much.
And it's interesting that, as you mentioned, you address all situations that could possibly happen in a person's life or in a relationship. And I like particularly, I don't see a page number here, but it's the one where it says, and that's when it's time to put on your big girl panties. And that is from 1959.
Yeah, the picture is actually of a little girl putting on her undershirt or something. And that's the part of the book where I say, you know, you've found the wonderful person, and now it's time to, you know, to basically to commit, you know, to not let your insecurities get in the way, basically. So put on your big girl panties and dive in and just go for it.
And you say that at the end of the book, because you tell your readers, hey, be ready to take a chance. Do it.
Yeah, I think baby boomers, you know, they've seen their share of a lot of them have been married and divorced, or, you know, or they know some kind of heartbreak or loss. By the time you're middle-aged, you've had your heart broken a few times, or you've been divorced, or maybe you've had to mourn some deaths of people you love. So this book, in its own lighthearted way, I think, I hope, helps people realize that there's still a lot of life left after a heartache. And especially if you have your friends around you and you're open to life, and you never know what's around the corner. And so the book is at the end, it says, be ready to take a chance on love. And the illustrations are Garth Williams' wonderful illustrations from the Golden Book classic, Home for a Bunny, where that one little bunny is looking for a home and he finds another little bunny who invites him in. So I thought it was an appropriate picture for taking a chance on love.
And I can just imagine people who purchase this book and are reading it, pulling out the little golden books to compare the pictures and read
right.
The rest of the story.
Right. And some of these pictures are from books that are no longer in print. So it's just a chance to get some of this wonderful artwork back sort of out there again. Or, as you say, to encourage people to go to their bookshelves and say, oh, yeah, I had a home for a bunny, or I had Happy Man in his dump truck. Let's find it and let's reread it.
We're visiting with Diane Woodrose, is the editor for Little Golden Books. And we were discussing about reading with parents and grandparents, your children. In one of the interviews that you did, I think it was in California Kids, it said that somebody asked you what made you happy. And you said that all that had to happen was for your mother to read to you, and you were happy.
That's right. I think that's really all I needed as a kid. I think it was a twofold situation where my mother would read to me, and I loved stories, but also I got to sit with her and be close to her, and that's what reading to a child is about. It's about that closeness. And my mom, I love to call her an overachieving housekeeper. She was a dynamo. She loved she loved being a housewife, and she was very good at it, and she made homemade bread and wallpapered and did her own landscaping and made everything from scratch. So she was just constantly on the go. And I think I would sort of long for her to slow down and spend time with me when my older brother was away at school, and I wasn't at school yet. So I would say, would you read to me? And she would always read to me. So it was a chance to read all our wonderful golden books that we got at the supermarket, and for me to be able to sit next to her and be close to her.
Some people would say, Diane, that reading is not as, I don't want to say accessible, because it is accessible, but the fact that people, today's young people don't read as much, or even adults, because they'll claim that they're too busy, but it's available on e-books, it's available on their mm-hmm. smartphone, it's available everywhere. I guess my question is, where would people go to find these little golden books or children's books? And do you find that children are still enjoying reading, or do you see a decline in that?
Well, I would say reading is as big as it ever was. Certainly the little golden books just sell and sell. You know, I can tell you that the reissues that I put, I reissue old little golden book titles every year, and they always sell really well. I think partly it's that nostalgia factor, and they're also just really good stories. But I also publish new little golden books each year that I hope will be the classics of tomorrow and that will also stay in print for the next 30 or 40 years. And they sell well, too. So I think, you know, I think people know that there's no substitute to reading to your child. And it's the benefits are great, because you're exposing, you know, what a picture book does in a young child's life is expose that child to literature and art. You know, that's a child's first introduction to literature and art, even if it's the Mother Goose book or, you know, something like that. And then also there's that closeness, that bonding time that you have with your child that they will always remember. So fortunately, I don't think that seems to be going out of style.
We're visiting with Diane Muldrow. She is the editor for Little Golden Books, and she is also the author of the Everything I Need to Know About series. And her latest one is Everything I Need to Know About Love. Perspectives will continue right after this.
Ricky Gervais, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm Bill Newcott, and from AARP Studios, this is Movies for Grownups.
He has done all those films, but many of you in this room probably know him best from such facilities as the Betty Ford Clinic and Los Angeles County Jail. Please welcome Robert Downey Jr.
That's the brash, irreverent Ricky Gervais we all know. But Ricky also has a soft side, the one he showed for two seasons on his British sitcom, Derek. Ricky has just returned to the character of Derek in a one-hour special now available on Netflix. As played by Ricky, Derek is a sweet-natured, naive fellow who works in a nursing home. He sees each and every day as a brand new adventure.
As a starter, it's frog's legs.
Legs off a, what, a real frog?
Sure.
What about the frog's what legs you took off? Are they disabled now?
Ricky told me that childlike Derek is a lot closer to his real-life persona than that cynical guy that made him famous.
Well, he's sort of like, he's me when I was little. I used to run round. I used to lift up rocks. I used to bring in creatures my mum would be scared of. I used to take clocks apart. I was in awe of the world. I couldn't believe when I woke up in the morning. Brilliant. I'm alive again. I can do it all again. And I really like that quality. I like it particularly in dogs, but I also like it. I also like it in people.
Ricky, did it occur to you that you would surprise people with a show that had this much heart?
I didn't know. I was surprised that before people saw it, they were assuming it was going to be cruel and making fun of old people. That annoyed me. And I was pleasantly surprised about how many people said, I cried. I just see it all every day. I cried my eyes out. But yeah, I should be equally offended when people say, I was surprised you had heart.
The Derek Special with Ricky Gervais is available on Netflix. I'm Bill Newcott.
We're visiting with Diane Muldrow. She is the editor for Little Golden Books, and she is also the author of the Everything I Need to Know About series, and her latest one is Everything I Need to Know About Love, and it's a very interesting little golden book, and as you read the pages, you'll see different artwork from your various books that you might have read as a child or perhaps even as an adult. If you don't feel like reading a novel, you sit down and read a little golden book.
Yeah, it's, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, because, and I want to say, you're training that as a journalist. Every word is important. These books, even though they just have a sentence or two, they give you a direct message, and it's very strong.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad you think that way. I'm glad you feel that way.
Is that something that perhaps affected your working with children's books? Because I want to know a little bit about you working also with Disney and the Barbie characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have a, as you said, I have a degree in magazine journalism. And that was great training, actually. I didn't actually become a journalist, but it was great training for my career in children's books, because picture books, you know, you don't want walls of text in a picture book. A picture book is a read aloud, and it should have a rhythm and a bounce to it. And it shouldn't be so heavy on words that the listener is going to glaze over. So I really learned to write books. I wrote a lot of books for free on staff at Golden Books. I wrote Disney books and Barbie books. And that was a great boot camp, you know, writing camp for me, because I learned how to write a picture book. And, you know, especially a little Golden Book is not a very big book. It's 6x8. So you can't fit a lot of words in a little Golden Book. And it wouldn't be very attractive if you had a lot of words in a little Golden Book, because then you wouldn't have as much room for the artwork. So with my journalism training, you know, that was a nice background. And then I learned, you know, it's the same thing in a picture book as it is in a newspaper. You know, every word has to matter. And if it doesn't matter, take it out.
I want to know a little bit also about your first book. I think it was called The Happy Book.
It wasn't my first book, but it was my first original book, yes. I had written a lot of licensed stuff, Disney and Barbie. But that was my first original idea that I turned into a book, and I was very proud of that book. It was what we call a touch and feel in the industry. It was a little novelty book. It's no longer in print, but every page had something to touch or feel or pull on, or even a scratch and sniff. And it was just a rhyming list of little things that make children happy, like the curl of a pig's tail, for instance. And you could pull on the pig's tail. It was just a little cute little pink sort of coily thing. I don't know if we'd even pass safety testing anymore. But so it was just what we call a novelty book, and it sold very well, and it encouraged me to think of more original ideas and not just write Disney and Barbie stuff, but to go on and write original books.
And it's interesting that you talk about that, because children are very original, unique. They have a great imagination, and, you know, the more opportunity you can give them, even through reading, the more that they love that book. And I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will be going on eBay and trying to find your book to see if they can find that book so they can have fun with it. Now, as far as the titles themselves, Little Golden Books, and you mentioned that some of them are no longer in print, do you have a catalog? Do you have a web page where people can go in and find out what is still available?
We do. We have a, you know, if you can go on, you can go on the randomhouse.com site to look at the Little Golden Books. We have many, many. There are, you know, a few hundred books in print at the moment. Another way you can see them pretty easily is on the Amazon.com website also. And, I mean, I would say there were 1,400 titles altogether over the years, and that's a lot of books. Now, those aren't all, as I said, those aren't all in print. Sometimes books become dated, and they're just too dated to bring back into print. But we still continue to publish old ones and, as I said, new ones too.
For the benefit of our listeners, can you tell us again, perhaps, specific themes? Did you do anything historical ever, like Abraham Lincoln's birthday, Mother's Day, 4th of July, anything like that?
One little Golden Book that stands out is called Our Flag. This is a book that was published, I believe, in the early 60s, and it went out of print, and I brought it back into print about maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and that book sells really well. It's the history of the flag, of the American flag, and beautiful artwork, and it's just enough text on every page that gives our youngest readers a little bit of the history of the American flag with Betsy Ross and George Washington and the Revolutionary War, and then how the flag changed over time. It's a very well-done little Golden Book. But there aren't many like that, I have to tell you, in little Golden Books. There was a lot of stories and strong characters. People will remember the Pokey Little Puppy, Tawny Scrawny Lion, the Saggy Baggy Elephant, Toodle, the Train. These are, you know, little Golden Books were more about strong stories and characters, but that's not to say they didn't do nonfiction also. They did do nonfiction a lot in the 50s, books about Under the Ocean, for instance, and like I told you, my favorite was called Wonders of Nature. And I'm actually putting out a new little Golden Book next year about sharks, because little kids are really interested in sharks. And that's sort of we're going back to our nonfiction roots with that book.
We're visiting with Diane Muldrow. Diane is the editorial editor for Little Golden Books, and she is also the author of the Everything I Need to Know series. Her latest book is Everything I Need to Know About Love, which takes you and guides you through relationship using pictures and illustrations from other Little Golden Books, and it's a little golden book that you can read together, but it takes you back the nostalgic act because there are a lot of pictures in here from the 1940s, 1950s, and you will remember those. I think I read somewhere that you like to watch documentaries to get ideas for some of your books. Nature documentaries.
Oh, boy, you've really done your homework. I love watching nature documentaries, and I've written a lot of books over the years for kids based on what goes on in nature. I wrote a book, a lift-a-flap book, that showed pregnant animals and what it was like in that animal's tummy, like a mother elephant or a mother dolphin. But the book I'm proudest of is still in print. It's called We Planted a Tree, and it actually is based on the real-life woman, Dr. Wangari Maathai. She passed away recently. She won the Nobel Prize several years ago for helping reforest her native country of Kenya and using the citizens of that country to help do that. I wrote a picture book loosely based on that called We Planted a Tree, and it was a Chicago Public Library Best of the Best pick for 2010, and a Bank Street Book of the Year for 2010. So that book was, you know, I was very interested in what was called the Green Belt Movement happening in Kenya, and I was inspired to write a little picture book about an African family and at the same time a family in Brooklyn planting a tree and watching that tree grow as their children grow.
Diane, would you tell us about one of your books is How Do Lions Say I Love You?
Yeah, that's a little golden book, and it came out last year. It's about, it's a rhyming story, very, very simple, about how animals show affection in their family groups. So you have, I show how elephants greet each other with their trunks. I show wolves and how they, wolves actually, it turns out, are the most affectionate of all animals. Who knew, right? But wolves love to group in huddles. And they huddle. it's a book about how animals show affection. It's nonfiction, but it's rhyming, so it's for the very young. And that book was actually a companion to a book called How Do Penguins Play, which is also a little golden book, and that's about how they play. Penguins like to play King of the Hill, for instance. They love to roll down the hill, and it's just very interesting. I love researching big topics like that and then distilling it down for the youngest readers.
It's interesting, as you talk about these various topics and discuss them, I don't think there is a topic that you didn't really touch in Little Golden Books as far as what you thought and the editors and other writers was appropriate for children and they might need to know something about. Like, for example, during the World War. What was the name of that first book again?
Well, there were 12 books that launched the first in 1942. One was The Pokey Little Puppy, and the rest are no longer in print, but they were one was a Mother Goose book, one was a book of prayers, one was a book about a farmer, just real classic content. You're talking about Our Flag, maybe? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Our Flag came out probably, I think it was the early 60s. I don't have it right in front of me, but yes.
Now, The Little Golden Book is featured, you mentioned you can get it at Amazon, any of those stores. It's also featured in the NPR store, so a lot of people are looking at this, and of course, Valentine's has come and passed, but why do you need to have a special day for love? Every day should be a day of love, right?
Right. Well, everything I need to know about love that I learned from a little golden book that I wrote, it's a long title. It isn't just for Valentine's Day. We launched it for Valentine's Day, but it's a book, I would call it a year-round book because love is about year-round. You know, love is about friends and family and our pets, and that's every day of our lives. So everything I need to know about love I learned from Little Golden Book is it's a popular item right now for Valentine's Day, but I think it'll stay popular all year round. The first book, which is called Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book, that book was the best-selling title in the independent bookstores last year. So it was the number one hardcover book, and it was the number one book overall in what we call the indie bookstores, you know, the independents. And it was on the New York Times bestseller list for, I think, 30 weeks or something like that. It hit the number two spot in the advice, how-to, and miscellaneous category. And then the Everything I Need to Know About Christmas I Learned from a Little Golden Book also quickly got on the New York Times bestseller list. So that was really wonderful, too.
We're visiting with Diane Muldrow, and she is the editorial editor for Little Golden Books. What was the webpage that you mentioned that you could go to?
Well, I have a website that shows the covers of the books that I've written. And there are actually, if you're interested in Little Golden Books or their history, there are lots of fan sites out there that list every book that was ever published. And all you have to do is go Google Little Golden Books. That'll come up. But if you're interested in the books that I've written, you can go to my website and see those books.
We were talking earlier about the classic art that's in these pictures, in these books. And I guess I would like to know a little bit about the artists. And you have everything from, you know, something that will appeal to a child to something that looks very classic, like the one with the little girl sitting on her grandfather's lap.
Yeah. Well, the Little Golden Book artists, and I'm talking really the 40s through the 60s, because of those are the artists that I'm featuring in my Everything I Need to Know I Learned from the Little Golden Book series. Those are among the finest illustrators of the 20th century. Garth Williams, for example, was a very well-known children's illustrator who, you'll remember the book Charlotte's Web.
Yes.
Or the Little House on the Prairie books. Those books, Stuart Little, The Trumpet of the Swan, he did these books, but he also did Little Golden Books. So he did the Little Golden Books, he did The Sailor Dog, he did Mr. Dog. Still some of our best-selling books are illustrated by Garth Williams. He had a technique that is just, you just don't see an artist today that they have very often of today's artists. He was able to make an animal look very realistic and furry, but also very whimsical, and there was always sort of a look in the eye, you know, that was more human. And his books are so popular because I just think you just don't find art like that anymore, really, very often. Occasionally you see it in today's books, but it's not so much.
Well, Diane, thank you. We're out of time, but it's interesting to know about the artist. Again, we've been visiting with Diane Muldrow. She is the author of Everything I Need to Know About Love, I Learned from a Little Golden Book. Diane, thank you very much for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
As a young businessman in Oklahoma City's oil industry, my friend Keith Miller took both work and faith seriously. So when his church asked him to lead a Bible class, it took him hours to prepare. As it happened, legendary OU football coach Bud Wilkinson was in class that Sunday when Keith presented that first talk. Leave it to Wilkinson to know just what to say. Keith, anybody who makes it look that easy has put a lot of time into it. I'll be back. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Any skilled person will tell you that a moment well done caps a mountain of labor. And that's as it should be. In this world, every worthwhile destination demands a real journey in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sainz.